News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Otter Creek Farm, by the way. Otter Creek Farm, I tell you about this place all the time. I go out there all the time. I mean, this is an amazing facility. I say facility, it's like hundreds and hundreds of manicured acres. Incredible facilities. They've got the guides, the guns, and the dogs to do a pheasant or quail hunt with you. They've also got a team of chefs that will cook for you like you will not believe. And I'm just telling you, folks, it's a kind of place where you could do a wedding out there, you could have a corporate retreat, or just go out there for a day of shooting. It's just amazing. Otter Creek Farm. Check out their website. OtterCreekFarmstead.com is the website. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. When you look at it, you will quickly realize why they've been featured in Garden and Gun magazine, why Donald Trump Jr. came and stayed there for a hunt not long ago, and why literally Frank told me the other day that people are flying in from Europe to hunt there. I'm just telling you, right here in North Alabama, check it out, OtterCreekFarmstead.com. All right, so hey, Copper, let me ask you.
Yeah?
So you are in your mid-20s, mm-hmm. upper mid-20s. You... Is that fair to say the upper mid-20s?
Indeed.
Okay. And you moved here from out of state.
Yeah.
You've not had a great deal of time to hear all the different names who have been in and around state politics in Alabama and until you started working with the shows here
That's
on
right.
WVNN. Okay, so that being said, some of these are fresh to you. So you may not have any like baggage about any of the candidates. I'm assuming.
Not okay. as much. I've you know, heard things through the grapevine now okay. that I'm working here.
Well, tell me what, from your perspective, what are you looking for in a governor? Because you live here now. So
yeah.
what are you looking for in a governor of Alabama?
You know, I appreciate you asking that because honestly, I hadn't really thought about it. Beyond what I look for in a general candidate, you know, honesty, integrity, standing up for the values I believe in. But I hadn't thought specifically what would make a good governor rather than, you know, my representative or senator. And I think being able to unify and work well and communicate well with different groups, different parties, different aspects of the legislature is what you look for in somebody who's at the top of leadership. And I guess that's why a lot of people had complaints with Governor Ivey's response to the COVID pandemic, because she kind of just took over and didn't listen to the other voices.
Yeah.
So I think that, I guess, aside from, you know, let's not be corrupt, that'd be great. that being able to unify and listen to a variety of groups, I think, is probably the most important to me.
Okay, that's huge. And I think you're right. I think last year, she not only, you know, maybe didn't listen so much as she didn't even ask.
Yeah.
you know,
yeah.
And I say that, you know, you and I are not on the on the inside of the rooms where they have the meetings. I have been in those rooms, and they're not smoky back rooms. They actually happen in, like, you know, around a table, and they sit down and talk by appointment. But nonetheless, I think the perception was pretty accurate that the legislature and the governor's office weren't doing much together with regard to COVID response. It was all on the governor, and then whatever happened, she owned it. I think the other thing is, and we're seeing this with the Biden administration, I think something that I'm looking for is someone who I know has not just the ability to work with others, but also has leadership skills. I mean, I'm watching right now, how many times have I said it, that Biden is living proof that you've got to have leadership skills, that he has had the luxury of rhetoric without responsibility for years in D.C. Now suddenly he's in charge, and look how it's going. And so there's that. I think that's the other thing that I'm looking for, is someone who knows how to run an organization, somebody who knows how to be decisive, somebody who knows how to make decisions that are hard, and even though they may have a good staff around them, at some point is willing to own with a sense of responsibility how the decisions are made. And I was talking to my friend Brian Taylor. You know, Brian's been on the show several times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to him the other day. He used to be a senior advisor for Governor Riley before you moved to Alabama. And Governor Riley, he said that literally you would come to work in the morning and they had their first morning meeting every day. I think he said like at 8 o'clock, 7:30 or 8 in the morning. And by then Governor Riley had already read something like 10 different news sources. And as you began to brief him on the day, he already knew about it. He would ask you questions because he was already spun up on where things were. And that's the kind of person that I want to see in office. Someone who is aware of their times, who's a leader. And like you said, somebody who can work with others and listen and get something done collaboratively at times. So that's not always what you get in the package deal of voting somebody in. So we'll see. But hey, wrapping that section up, by the way, let me just say this. I'm wondering what's going to happen with so Tim James is definitely in. Linda Blanchard, and I think she's going by Lindy Blanchard now in her switch to governor, because I saw Linda Blanchard is bringing in her money. Remember, she put $5 million, folks, into her own U.S. Senate race, which did not get her but 1 or 2% in the vote. I don't see her as being a huge factor at this point, and I wonder what she's going to bring in terms of the ability to say, I know how to run an organization. But then Tim James has run for governor before. Not only that, his father was governor. He has seen the level of statewide campaigning that is required, and I believe he's going to bring quite a bit of his own money as well. So that's going to be curious to see how that impacts. Plus, they have connections. I mean, the same connections that Ivy has, I would assume, largely speaking, that Tim James also has. And I guarantee you, he has already made a ton of phone calls. You don't sign up for an office like this without having done your homework. Or if you have, you're going to get trashed in the race. So the interesting thing is going to be to see how this all plays out and what will happen when you've got a Blanchard, James, and Ivy immediately with a great deal of money. Then you still got out there in the weeds, you've got Dean Odell and Stacey George and possibly Jim Ziegler. So let's say that Ziegler gets in. Right now there was a poll that was done, I think, who had the story? Alabama Daily News had this one. Daily News said there was a poll that was run this past, when was this? August. So it was run in August, back when technically there was really not anybody in the race. So look at what we got here right now. At that point, if the question was asked in the poll, and this was run by Signal spelled C-Y-G-N-A-L. Signal is a highly respected polling institution that works nationwide. They started in Alabama. I know the folks that run it quite well. But when they polled this back then, there was a hypothetical ballot. Now we're looking at a real ballot. At that point in August, Kay Ivey polled at 41%. That's huge. That's like a comfortable, I don't even have to debate anybody, I could get by without even running an ad kind of campaign. However, she polled at 41%. If Tim James had been in the race then, which he wasn't even doing more than having a press conference, he still got 3.5% before he did a thing. Jim Ziegler had 8.8%. Dean Odell had 3%. And then Stacey George is not on the ballot here, but they do have 33% undecided and 9.2% saying they would vote for, quote, someone else. So, I mean, all right, let's take the someone else and the undecided. The someone else and the undecided counts for 42% of the vote that is not assigned. And Tim James has 3.5% before he ever even said he was going to run. So right there, if you look at it, 42% that no one knows what they're going to do yet. All right, let's say you take off a third of that. Let's say a third of that goes, what's a third of 42? Help me, Copper. That would be, what, 12, about 14. Okay, thanks, Copper. That'd be 14, roughly 14%. Let's say that 14% goes to whoever else is not Kay Ivey. And then you add that to Tim James, who already has 3.5. Now he's at 17. And then Jim Ziegler doesn't get in. His 8.8% has to go somewhere. Well, apparently it's going to go to the non-KIV candidates. So let's say that adds in, and now you're at, what, 25%. And then you've got Dean Odell and Stacey George and Linda Blanchard pulling votes from KIV because they're not those people were obviously not wanting Kay Ivey. All I'm saying here, folks, I'm running numbers for you, and I'm giving you this kind of indication that what we've got is a race. I think we finally are seeing that Kay Ivey is indeed going to have a primary. And if those numbers play out, the fact that she was at 41% does not mean a shoe-in if she doesn't get 50% plus in the primary. If she doesn't reach that point, then she's in a runoff, and all those other votes are going to be cascading in on the person who makes it to the runoff with her. So I think Tim James and Linda Blanchard are about to be Kay Ivey's nemesis in a big way, and it's going to be interesting to watch. All right, we're taking a short break, and then I'm changing gears on you. Big, big doings right now in the world of COVID response. Are you tired of hearing about it? I know I am, but we still got to talk about it. How in the world do the people of New York City have a guy like de Blasio, who, as he's leaving office in a couple of weeks, slams down a vaccine mandate within the city that no one saw coming, and people expect him to be able to get away with it? Well, we'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, folks. Listen, hey, let me tell you real quickly, too, about ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions. Are you looking for a job? I'm just telling you right now, one of the best around putting people back to work is ZLA Solutions. Go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over Alabama, a lot of them with great pay and benefits that you're going to want to take advantage of, ZLAUSA.com. But that's not just what they're there for. If you're an employer and you've got a need to fill out the ranks of your own workforce, just know the same thing works for you. Go to ZLAUSA.com. Start that relationship with them. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, whatever it is you need, finding you that workforce, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. ZLA Solutions. They like to say at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right, so listen, I'm switching gears on you. Number three in the Triple Dipper. Now, we're going to go back to state politics later because Tim James is going to be calling in at 4:30 to talk about the fact that he just filed his paperwork to run for governor in the state of Alabama, and that's big doings because it means, like I said earlier, that we are looking at a true primary happening this year now for Governor Ivey. I think with Linda Blanchard and Tim James getting in, it's going to be, at the very least, it's going to be a wake-up call. And I think it's going to be a good race. I mean, I think Tim James is going to bring a lot to that primary. And Governor Ivey's going to have to do some serious campaigning. Get out there and see folks and answer questions and perhaps at times respond to things that she had hoped that no one was going to be around to ask her. Now, she's got her own record to run on, too. And she's got some things that she's done. I mean, look at unemployment in the state of Alabama. That's great. Look at the fact that we're named one of the most business-friendly states in the nation. That's great. She also polls as being very popular as a governor. But she kind of polls being popular as a governor because she didn't have to go out and take great risks because no one was calling her on the carpet. Well, that's going to change in a campaign season. All right, number three on the Triple Dipper, though, I said it's mixed messages on COVID. So I'm going to kick this off now, and then we'll have to take that break at the top of the hour and come back. We got breaking news even right now. All right, so you know that guy, who got who somehow got to be mayor of New York City? You know that guy who's like 7 feet tall and just an odd dude, one of the most liberal mayors in the nation, de Blasio. New York City Mayor de Blasio announcing just in the last few hours that he is putting together he's announcing a COVID-19 vaccine mandate for all private sector workers. All private sector workers. He calls it, in New York City, he calls it a preemptive strike against the Omicron variant and a potential winter spike. You talk about overreach. I mean, good luck with this. It's going to get enjoined from the moment the words came out of his mouth. The legal documents were being drafted by attorneys for private sector companies all over the place. So Fox News reporting that New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio on Monday issued what he called a preemptive strike mandating that all private sector employees in the Big Apple would be vaccinated against COVID-19 by December 27th. Okay. First of all, no. It doesn't work that way. There's a thing called freedom, and you don't have the right to just step in and start telling people, you will do this with that thing that I have no control over. I mean, I don't know what you got to do. Start threatening people. And he's only in office for a few more weeks, by the way. He is literally set to leave office in weeks. And he breaks this news this morning on MSNBC's Morning Joe. Oh, that show. Morning Joe. And so I saw a story. Let me see if I can find that again real quick. This is breaking news. I didn't print it out. You don't get to hear the paper rattling on this one. But there was a story that said that, yeah, here it is. Yeah. Story on Business Insider, which is a liberal rag in itself. But Business Insider reporting that New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio blindsided business leaders by announcing his private sector employer vaccine mandate on MSNBC's Morning Joe. In other words, the business community, they didn't know this was coming. He didn't coordinate with them. He didn't talk to anybody. He just did it. He made a major vaccine mandate announcement Monday morning in one of the biggest cities in the world, and he's going to require all in-person private sector workers to be vaccinated. And that's going to be huge. But see, here's the thing. Let's say you're not vaccinated right now, but you're a private sector employer. You're not subject to the OSHA mandate because you have fewer than 100 employees. You don't have a federal contractor. The courts have already stayed the situation regarding the medical care workers. And now de Blasio steps in and he says, well, I believe that I'm God, and therefore I am going to say that you have to all be vaccinated regardless of your situation. You can be a one-person business at that point, and you're having to get vaccinated. And the problem with this is the majority of the vaccinations are two-part. He says they'll have to have it done by December 27th or what? We don't have the or what yet that I know of. But literally, there's no way to get someone from scratch fully vaccinated by December 27th right now. Today's December 6th. That's less than 3 weeks away, or right at 3 weeks away. You're supposed to wait 30 days between the two shots. So assuming someone wants to, at this point they haven't already done it, they probably don't want to, but assuming somebody wants to, they're still not going to be in compliance. I mean, you already can't go out to eat without your vaccine passport in New York City. I mean, please God, could he leave office without screwing one more thing up? And so Catherine Wild, who's the president and CEO of a group called the Partnership for New York City, which is one of the big influential business groups up there, told a New York Times reporter after this, said there's no forewarning, no discussion, no idea about whether it's legal or who he expects to enforce it. He's just going to do it. Doesn't say who's, I mean, literally, how are they going to enforce this? This is classic case of, I'm a super lib and I'm leaving office. Here's my coup de grace. Somebody needs to escort him to the door while they still can. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. That's just one thing in the COVID mixed messages that are going on right now here and around the world. I'll tell you more when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.